The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Welcome to the Cat Attack Podcast, episode number 324, series 4 of the Cat Attack Podcast, proudly brought to you by Kerr's Hire, written, authorised by Ben Casanelia, and it's been vetoed by the man opposite me on this table, Tom King. Kingy, welcome along.
I have to veto everything you say.
Pretty much. There's plenty of scrubbing and dubbing and cutting goes on when we get in here to do this podcast, and I didn't think we'd be coming in here this week, Kingy, off the back of a loss. You always sort of think that when you win a lot, at some point you're going to have a fizz. I didn't think it would be on Friday night at home against an injury-depleted GWS Giants. I've got a theory, though.
What's your theory?
Well, it's a very loose theory, and you would never, ever be able to prove it. It's one of those theories. Yes. That, you know when, like, an institute of something does a study of something that's so inane that you think, why are people, that's public money being, just, you know, the taxpayers' money being funded to, like, you know, discover that a beetle likes to, you know, lie upside down for 4 minutes of the day between 2 and 3. And you think, well, do we really need to know that? But my theory is that the best thing that happened on the night became the worst thing that happened on the night.
Jake Colajasny's goal?
Yeah.
Yep.
I reckon that there was like a, what was 37 seconds in, hasn't kicked a goal for 1,000 years, 127 games. Suddenly the goal goes through and it's like, well, hang on, this team's got a heap out. The bloke who hasn't kicked a goal has just kicked a goal.
Yep.
This is going to be a bit of a picnic.
Yep.
And the first 7 or 8 minutes of that game, Geelong absolutely dominated.
And didn't put any score on the board.
No. And then it was like a bit of an arm wrestle. And it was like, oh, hang on, we have 7 goals behind here. Look at the scoreboard. And then they had the chances, obviously, late. But they really didn't deserve to win. And I don't think in the wash-up, let's hope, I think it might prove to be a positive that they actually lost.
And because the Dogs lost too, it hasn't really impacted what their potential finishing is. They were never going to finish with the minor premiership, you wouldn't have thought. The only way they may have done that was if Melbourne had a lost, but then we're relying on the Dogs to lose one of their
last
two.
It's looking like they'll play Melbourne anyway.
Yeah, yeah. It's just probably, potentially, finishing second might mean it could be played down here. Because if Victoria's lockdown, or the metropolitan Melbourne lockdown continues, and there's a potential for crowds down here, and Geelong finish second, the AFL will probably look at it. The chances of there being final, like if they're talking about this lockdown being beyond next week in Metro Melbourne, that's going to put a big kibosh on fans.
And so much unknown, isn't it? It's just
But the door is open for finals down. There might be a couple of finals here because there's every chance that the Swans might say, look, we really actually like it, a kid in your park. We have a good record. And we'll take the Eagles potentially on in the elimination final in Geelong. And the Giants might go, well, if they were to sneak into a finals sort of position, they might say, well, gee, we won our last one. We've won two, actually, we've won our last two down here. We'll have a crack here as well, thanks very
much. Well, maybe. Geelong could become the mecca of foosball.
Well,
we could be referring to Cadinia Park as the mecca of football. We usually refer to the MCG as the mecca of football. Just so much uncertainty, though, isn't it, about what's going to happen.
Oh.
It's a bit like when you were, you know, when you were 15 and you had that, you had the date and you're off to the movies.
Yep.
It was just a lot of uncertainty, wasn't there, about what might happen?
Well, there was a lot of hope.
Yeah.
But
once you just busted open the chalk top,
it was over.
And you were sort of, things just, and then the curtain came back.
Yeah.
And then the lights dimmed.
Yeah.
And then you just sort of, you know, you crept over on to the other chair and all that sort of stuff. You never did that? You know when you sort of just, the hand creeps over and you're young and you're free and all that sort of stuff. You know when that happens?
I'm moving on, Benny.
Rightio.
Because somebody actually, I don't know who it was, we'll get to the questions a little bit later, but somebody actually did ask if there was a possibility that there could be an outtakes episode of the Cat Attack podcast.
Well, I'd love that to happen, but that maybe you kibosh that.
That could actually go through the Russian mafia, suggestion was.
They could end up in Thailand. Do you know when you go to Thailand? Have you been to Thailand?
Never been to Thailand.
Well, not lately, but you know, in the last...
No, I've never been.
You've never been. Okay, so I'll just tell you one thing about Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
How much Russian influence is in Thailand.
Really?
I've been quite a few times to Thailand and not... Don't look at me like that. Just for the sand and the sun and the sea. and the refreshments.
I was going to say, what's the beer of choice in Thailand?
Oh, the... you can have a bit of sort of whatever blows your hair back, really.
Do they sort of import in from all over the world?
Yeah, you can have a...
So you can pick up a Carlton draft on...
Oh, I don't know if you get a Carlton draft. You're probably pushing the
Downtown Bangkok.
There. Bit of a Changi something. Yeah, I think it's Changi. What was the other one? The white one? The Singer?
Singer,
yeah. Just launched into a few of those.
Yep.
But when I was there a long time ago...
Isn't Singer in Bali? Don't they drink Singer in Bali?
Yeah, it probably is Bali. It was a long time ago since I've been to Thailand. I forgot what I've drunk. But anyway, what I was going to say was when you go to Thailand, when I went years and years ago, all the menus are in English.
Yep.
So, and they've all got pictures, like all those menus, you know, those sort of Asian countries. They all have that, which is so makes it easy to see, you know, what you have. Anyway, when I went more recently, they were all in English, and there was also a menu in Russian.
Wow.
There were so many Russians there because they reckon that the Russian mafia are heavily... involved in Thailand.
Okay.
So there's so many Russian tourists go there that they've had to cater for them by having. And we went to one restaurant, right? And the Russian had his lovely there, and they were having it. They were only in their 20s, and I could see it was all lovey dovey. And he must have ordered something, and he didn't know. He probably didn't speak any English, and he must have pointed at the wrong dish. And when his dish came out, you could see his head, it nearly blew off its shoulders. Oh, and the next thing you know, milk is coming out at a ferocious rate to try and cool him down.
Now the Cats.
Yeah, what's happened with the
Pussycats? Okay, so some good news. So
what is it?
It's Thursday afternoon. Jay Cameron back.
Yeah, well, that probably could have been back last week, couldn't he?
So, yeah, let's just be absolutely certain here. So, Jay Cameron back, Henderson back. I reckon they've missed Lockie Henderson the last couple of weeks. I know you're not overly sold on Lockie Henderson in the Geelong.
No, he's had a really good year. I just wonder whether that's the best mix. But, yeah, no, he's been in really good form.
So, he's back, O'Connor back, Isaac Smith back.
Atkins?
No, that back injury is just lingering longer than they would have.
The old linger longer.
In Yarrawonga.
Linger longer Lucy. I think it was a harness horse.
Was it?
Yeah, linger longer Lucy.
Right. Gino, good. The old Chariots weren't on Wednesday night. They got hit by the old COVID.
Yeah, they did. Pull the plug.
So get those guys back. No Tui. I reckon I'll miss Tui.
Yep, he's been really good.
He'll be missing to the finals. And Gary Rowan's going to probably miss as well.
Really?
Yeah. So,
with a corky?
No, it's a hip flexor.
The flexor.
It's the flexor.
You idiot. The old flexor.
So, but the Cats all of a sudden look much, I think, bit stronger on paper.
Well, they're going to be missing Doogie Howser, MD.
Yep.
He's not playing.
Probably King.
King, surely King's not playing.
No.
So, if King's playing, he's going at about 3%.
Yep.
And they've got no Frawley. They've got no Carlisle. They've got no Billings.
No.
So they've got their best, well, one of the best forwards in the competition, Max King, out.
Yep.
They've got their only sort of true key defender in Doogie Howser, MD, out. Geelong coming off a loss. Surely the Cats sort of open the shoulders here and just give them a good old pizzling.
Callum Wilkie then have
to
go
he'll have to play on Hawkins. Well, he's a glorified... sort of halfback flanker.
Who plays on Cameron then?
Well, they're going to have to sort of, I don't know, someone like a Webster or
Jimmy Webster.
Nicky Webster. Jimmy, but he's not a key. He's only, he wouldn't be 190.
No, but he's not a key. But yeah, no. That's where.
And then who plays on the big Saveloy when he launches down there?
Well, that's a good question too.
Is he playing? So what are they going to have? Cameron, Radigalia and Hawkins in the forward line?
Yep.
Yes, well, they're going to have. What's the weather forecast?
No, partly cloudy at the moment.
Is it with a chance of showers?
No,
so it's 50 cents each way.
No, I don't think. No,
one of
no.
those Jane Bunn sort of forecasts where they just have cover every base.
No.
It's going to be sunny with some showers, and then I was up at Ballarat this morning, King.
How are things in the Rat?
Well, it was Misty Hyman up there. I tell you, it was
good swimmer.
No, I'll tell you what happened was I was down at the stables, right, which is on the course bit.
Yeah.
This is how the weather is unbelievable. And then I drove over to the hill track, which is just off to the side of the track, the main track, and you couldn't see 3 feet in front of you.
Could you ask for better? Partly cloudy and 18.
Yeah, it's going to be.
It's a little bit balmy.
A bit of Neil Balmy.
Yeah. Partly cloudy, winds northwesterly. Oh, that's just that little sniff of spring in the air. It's that where the weather's just turned slightly.
Well, it's about time it bloody did.
Partly cloudy.
It's been putrid,
I'll be down at Port Arlington on Sunday watching Ocean Grove and Anglesey in partly cloudy in 19. That'll almost be pull the zinc cream out for me.
You'll need just the sort of polo top on for that one.
That'll be nice.
Now, look, it's the Cats should bounce back, surely, I would have thought, and deal. St Kilda at full strength would give them a run for their money, but you can't take your full forward and your full back out of that team.
Did we,
and then Don't forget, they're also missing Hunter Clark.
Yeah, good player.
He's gone. He out.
Yep.
I don't know that he's... what's his name? The other bloke they got in that draft.
Caulfield.
Yeah, is he right?
Yeah, Caulfield's right.
He's been dropped this year twice.
He has. Yep.
So they're injury depleted. They'll be worse than the Cats, the Saints.
Good midfield, though.
Who?
Well, Steele.
Steele goes well. O'Connor to Steele.
Crouch.
This is what we said. The call, the tweeter or the questionnaire last week suggested, should O'Connor...
Does he go to Steele or does he go to Crouch?
Go to Steele. Right. Crouch gets a heap of it. I'd go to Steele. He's a bit more of a sort of an impact player. Crouch gets a heap of it. Doesn't always hurt you.
Hmm.
So Crouch and Steele, who else? Seb Ross, you're saying?
Yeah, Seb Ross, Zach Jones, depending on whether he lines off a halfback flank or through the middle.
Dangerfield playing?
Yes.
Definitely playing?
Yes.
What are we thinking of making of the Toby Green?
It deserved a week.
Yeah.
It deserved a week. It didn't deserve two.
Is that because he got injured and couldn't play on?
No.
Or because you think it actually deserved a
week?
The act
doesn't look
so good. So I'll tell you, if he didn't get injured and go off, he doesn't get a week, does he?
No, I still think he does. The act is not right.
The old act.
Yeah.
You need to change the act.
I need to change the act. It's Marbo. It's the vibe. he got, the elbow. He put the elbow up to fend off with.
What did you, I sort of, look, I don't know.
Come on, Benny, you can agree with me for once.
No, I do. It's just way too outcome based. So Dangerfield jumps up and plays on instantly. There's nothing wrong. I don't think he does get a week. Yeah. I say the impact wasn't sufficient enough. Just happened to hit him in exactly the wrong spot. Nothing to do with the impact.
So there's your risk. If you choose to make that act of lifting your elbow and you get somebody there, that's the risk you take when you perform that act.
Well, he could have hit him head in the head and he probably wouldn't have gone off because he's got a pretty hard cranium at Dangerfield.
Yeah.
So he could have just elbowed him straight in the head. Dangerfield gets off. Impact's not sufficient.
Yep.
He didn't actually hit him in the head.
But he still chose that action.
The one thing that I didn't particularly like was, and I know it was noble, but Dangerfield's almost pleading and reasons why Toby Green should get off and then offering explanations as to how he ducked and how he did it.
That starts influencing.
That was cringeworthy. Yep. Absolute cringeworthy. We've moved past that. All he needed to say was, look, I don't think there was much in it.
Yep.
The match review panel will sort that out.
Yep.
If he gets off, fantastic. I'm fine.
Yeah.
He didn't need to go on and on and on. It was embarrassing.
But he does have that soapbox because he's given that soapbox.
Yeah, it was rubbish. The footy's moved past that.
Mm.
And I actually didn't like that at all. He just needed to... He goes too far with that stuff.
Did the Cats get opened up a little bit too easily last week?
Well, they did, but exactly the same way they did against Brisbane. How many weeks ago was that? 6 weeks ago?
7 weeks, yep.
Yeah, they did. They did. They weren't... Defensively, they weren't great. The only thing I'll say, it'll be interesting to see this week, the last 2 weeks... I think you'd be able to tell me the stats, King. I reckon they've had about 120, between 120 and 130 inside 50s, and they've scored 18 goals.
So the Cats.
Against GWS with half their team out and North Melbourne are on the bottom of the ladder. So the connection between the midfield and the forward line, or, the back line, the midfield, then the forward line, seems to have, dissipated. How's that word? Dissipated. That is the St. Joseph's education shining through right there. Dissipated. So it'll be interesting to see if they can get that back on track because it has been pretty good this year.
124 inside 50s.
For 18 goals.
Yep.
10 against North, 8 against GWS.
Yep.
So that's something that is be interesting to see how that goes on Friday night, whether they can get that back and whether or not the defensive aspect of the game and getting back to a better system defensively, which they didn't have against GWS, actually helps that. Because, out of the last 2 weeks, the big concern has been the failure to turn inside 50s into goals.
Yep. Four players back. We know Rowan's out. We know Tui's out. Who are the two?
Well, Clark's gone.
Yep.
Outski. And old no relations out.
Kruger?
With
Henderson back?
Yeah, Henderson. Yeah, you'd think so.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's a given.
So then
he's been all right, though, Kruger.
So then no relation hangs on potentially for...
Oh, I can't. No relation needs to go back to the twos.
Well, there's no twos to go back to.
Well, he needs to get out and have a rest.
You're right.
It's great he's had some games, but he's not ready. And I'm concerned about his ability to kick open points. What's he kicked this year?
Old
no relation Max Holmes.
No relation has kicked 1 goal 7.
Yeah, correct. is in a nutshell. And he should have kicked 7 goals straight. They were all, I reckon, 6-1. They were all skimmies. Yep. He ran to the open points last Friday night. It never looked like, it nearly came off his knee. He's got a fatal, I said it at K-Rock footy, he's got a fatal flaw in his kicking technique. Fatal.
What is it?
Well, I don't know what it is, but it's fatal because he runs into the open point and he doesn't actually even look like
the open point. The open point.
What?
He runs into the open point.
That's what he does all the time.
Yep.
It's a concerning. You really love those clinical finishes. Clinical. Dusty Martin doesn't miss. Bang, straight through the middle. And you know who else is not bad? Who wasn't great when he started? So there is hope for no relation.
Yep.
Joel Selwood.
Yep.
When he first started, his kicking for goal wasn't great. He's actually become a really good kick for goal, particularly on the set shot. Yep. But yeah, I just hope they're working with no relation on his kicking for goal, because he's clearly going to get some opportunities to kick goals.
Yep.
And that's how you become a really, really good player. You know who he reminded me of?
Mm-hmm.
Who's a good player, but he does exactly the same thing, runs into the open points all the time. Seb Ross.
Yep.
Misses all the time.
Yep.
Constantly.
And he's a left footer too. He's a nice kick, but not there, but not.
Yeah, it, I don't know what it is, but I've watched his. I've sort of need to just sort of slow mo sort of style, no relations kicking style, but clearly there's an issue. What?
So.
We cut that out.
No. Oh, no, no.
Oh, that's just quality analysis.
Yeah. Rare from you. Yeah.
1-7. So there you go.
1-7.
Yeah.
Yep. Would you like to answer some questions, Benny?
And the goalie kick was a little snap thing around the corner from the pocket.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Questions. I love
we do
questions.
Have you do love questions.
You're going to FAT tonight, King. I'm excited.
Where are you heading to?
I'm going to the Great Western.
The Great Western?
Yeah.
On the corner of Aberdeen and Shannon?
Yeah. I haven't been out. I'm not the eternal flame. I don't go out. So I'm actually excited to go and have like a nice sort of porterhouse or something.
Porterhouse.
With some veggies and chips. Or the fish you eat today, he slept last night in Chesapeake Bay.
Now,
what?
I reckon we had, here we go. Oh, this has come from Jezza 1435. Great show, fellas. Highly enjoy the weekly podcast, so thanks very much. Oh, there's somebody.
There's one.
Now, I'm not a subscriber to this theory that lower sides flood back and Geelong struggle because they're trying to flood be defensive. All sides, including the Doggies and other sides, send mummers behind the ball often during games. I do think it is a mental thing, and I believe this is a concern for the rest of the season because it smacks of the last 3 to 5 years not being hungry enough. I think we're in the same position as those seasons heading into the finals.
Yeah, I sort of agree that I think sometimes we, not just Geelong, but you know, when any top team plays a bottom team and the scores are relatively low, we say, oh, you know, the other team. And then the team that's supposed to win wins by, you know, 2 or 3 goals, but is never going to get beaten. A bit like probably the Geelong-North Melbourne game. You say, oh, you know, the team flooded back and, they, you know, they did this and that. Well,
is that a bit simplistic?
I think so, yeah. I think it is. And it's funny, though. I think we all underestimate that I'll get this out right eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find the right word, King. It's not dissipated because I just used that one before.
Can't keep going to that well.
So I think everyone underestimate, well, other than those who are playing the game, but underestimate the insignificant gap that there is between the best and the worst teams, you know, at AFL level.
Yep.
If you play poorly, as we Geelong fans saw last Friday night, you'll get beaten.
Yep.
The Bulldogs saw it firsthand against Essendon.
Yep.
They got rolled. Hawthorn nearly beat Melbourne a few weeks ago. Yep. And then Melbourne got beaten by someone that, who was it? They got beaten the week before that, I reckon, or a couple of weeks. They got beat by a side out of the eight, I'm sure.
Let me have
It was around the Hawthorn game when they drew.
Let me go back. So Melbourne were very good against the Eagles the other night.
Well, they only won by 9 points.
Yeah.
They were good.
Prior to that, gave the Gold Coast a touch-up. Before that, lost to the Dogs by 20, drew with the Hawks. Week before that, they defeated Port Adelaide, and the week before that, they lost to the Giants at the MCG.
They lost to the Giants. That was the game.
Yep.
So the gap isn't so we – you're not just going to go out there, and I've said this, like I've always maintained this, it's not local footy where the second team on the ladder is going to beat the ninth team on the ladder
every week
by – anywhere from 10 to 20 goals,
yep,
depending upon what happens on the day, because they just don't have the talent, that bottom team. Now, teams like North Melbourne don't have quite as much talent as Geelong, but they've certainly got some talent. So you're not just going to walk out there and smack. You know, ladder positions aren't going to identify the number of goals you should win by.
No.
And I do think in a long season you're going to have ups and downs every club every year,
yep.
Bar Geelong in 2008,
yep.
When they had their down day on the grand final day.
Yep.
It's just you've just got to factor in that you've got to turn up every week, and it's impossible to turn up every week.
Right. Howl of 41, after Friday night, I think it's important we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Stats aren't everything, but 64 inside 50s wins you the game nearly every time.
Yeah.
A disappointing loss, but correct the ball use inside 50, we're back on track. A few no-names from the Giants had worldies, and with our in-game injuries, it was an uphill battle. Had you ever heard of Callum Brown before Friday night?
No, he played for Collingwood.
Yeah.
No, I hadn't. He was all right.
Peatling? Hadn't heard of him?
No, I hadn't heard of Peatling.
No.
The old Peatling.
Peatling.
Yeah, Peatling. In relation to Cameron.
Not sure.
I hadn't heard of him. The other one I liked for them, actually, who took my eye, was O'Halloran.
Xavier, yes.
Yeah, he was good. His ball use was extraordinary at times. He just cut the Cats open two or three times, particularly late in the game, slicing balls off the left. He was really good. Yeah, look, it was great win by them. And Geelong, you know, like the tweeter just said there, don't throw the baby out of the bathwater. It was one game. They had a bad one.
For me, the sole highlight was the Ukrainian kicking his first goal.
Yeah, it was. It was the highlight, and then I reckon it became a, I don't know, you'd never identify that, but I reckon, unfortunately, everyone just thought it was going to be a walk in the park, and it wasn't.
Finally, is there a chance of Benny's bedtime stories, a la Big Brother up late?
Oh!
No.
What do you mean, some bedtime stories?
No. Huh? I don't know what he's looking for there, and he's not getting them, not here anyway.
I've got a couple of gags.
No.
What?
No, we're not getting it. Now, our friend Daz Broncos has messaged us, and he wants to hear something again, Benny. He wants to hear Collar's goal again. So,
well, I had a spasm.
Near Daz Broncos, this one.
Billy, first quarter highlights.
Goes inboard. It was risky. Dangerfield. Briggs arrived just a step too late, and Dangerfield's been paid the mark. He wants to switch it wide to half forward. He's got Collar Jasny.
No.
Collar Jasny from 49.
Yes.
Collar Jasny's kicked the goal. Yes. Goodness me. Landy's tavern goal of the day. Collar Jasny gets his first goal in game number 127. And his teammates have exploded from all points of the compass.
Minute goal. That was good. It was great. I wonder, we'll be able to ask someone. Who are we talking to, Kingy, on Saturday night?
No, I'm not sure yet.
We'll be able to ask them. I'd imagine that even though they'd be analysing that game in the negative for the most part, I imagine that would get a run in the highlights package.
Sean Higgins, classy player through his career, but right now his body of work is less than stellar. The end comes fast for some. Do we think his end will be more Stuart Jew 2008 like, with the skills that once were being highlighted at the end, or Cam Mooney 2011 style, when the rig could just no longer perform what the mind was requesting? Do we think it's father time, or a Geelong and Chris Scott asking him to play a role that is foreign and not suited to his attributes?
Yeah, I think all of the above there. I think it is probably, Sean would be well aware too, that, you know, there's some pressure on him. I think he is playing a different role, a half-forward type role. He's not on the ball. Again, he might have little spurts on the ball, but he's predominantly playing a slightly different role, very different to what he would have played at North Melbourne.
Starvation corner.
Yeah, and yeah, he isn't impacting like he would like. I think that they will go with Sean Higgins. When you've got 250, rightly or wrongly, I'm not saying, you know, either way, but if you've got 250 games on the board, I think you are going to get the gong. They didn't bring him here not to be part of it.
Yep.
And I don't know. Like I said, I'm not here to judge that either way, but I think they will go with him.
All right. Reece Stanley, 100 games for Geelong. Kind of got a little bit less in the shuffle, but he's been decent over the last few weeks. Let's hope he can keep it running through to October.
Yeah, he's been solid.
Yep.
He's been okay. He hasn't stood out as being poor, which is what we want. That's when we've noticed him, when he's poor, not when he's good, because he's probably never going to be a star. But yeah, he's been okay. He's got a big week this week, Marshall, and then Gawn. So tunes him up for the finals. Marshall's a very good player. So I think it's a perfect entree for Reece Stanley to against two of the better ruckmen, to do well, go in with his confidence, because when his confidence is down is when he's bad. And his confidence would have been shot when they dropped him off the back of that Collingwood game. Was it Collingwood? No, he came in for the Collingwood game.
Came in for the Collingwood
game. He got dropped after...
He got dropped after the...
Sydney game.
Sydney game, yeah.
Good against Nat Nui, played Sydney, got his pants absolutely pulled down by Hickey, and then was out. His confidence would have been all time. Spent, what, 6 weeks in the twos?
Yeah, thereabouts.
Maybe.
Yep.
Comes back in and has been okay.
Yep.
So to finish off the season with two good performances, he's one Geelong would be really looking forward to playing well in the next 2 weeks to go in into those finals with his confidence as high as it can be.
Fox Dog 50, the game against the Giants, we had a lot of passengers, but with Higgins, surely with his form this year, he isn't in our best 22 come finals. I know Tom Lonergan, so on here, his polished football knowledge will be a plus when it's finals time.
His class might be, but so Higgins is not playing. Who plays?
Well, Duncan will come back. Will that squeeze potentially Higgins out?
So would you have and Myers?
Myers is no certainty. The club aren't saying they expect him to play finals, but they're not saying he's definitely going to feature in the finals.
So okay, so let's say Duncan plays a slightly different role to Sean.
Yep.
If you're not playing, if Myers is out as well, who have you got?
What's your forward line look like?
Hawkins, Cameron,
Radiglia.
I probably would.
Yep, Rowan.
Yeah, definitely.
Dalhouse.
Well, yeah, I mean, some have been calling for his head quite close. As well. Yeah, I think close. Yeah, I'd have close. I think he's
there's your six. Zach Tui's coming back when he's right.
There's seven.
Yeah,
Myers and Myers is not in, but he's half a chance.
There's Myers eight.
Yeah, it's going to he's going to be right on the borderline.
Yep.
You think he's playing this week?
Yep.
No Myers, no Duncan.
No.
He needs to play well.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And good deck, you know, ideal conditions.
Yep. He's got to have an impact. Play well. Yep. Use the ball well. And you know, put his hand up, say, yeah, I'm make it almost impossible for them to throw him out of the team. But I do agree that, yeah, it's not a foregone conclusion that he's 100% part of the 22.
Fox Dog 50 also says, I bet you a slab of frothies.
Ooh.
The match committee will pick him.
Gluten-free ones.
Cat to the future. Question. I've had it told to me that as a leader, you must back your people when they make correct decisions, even if the skill in execution is off. With that in mind, what are your thoughts on Clark's game? I thought he was having a decent go at it until the world's worst set shot.
Yeah, he was okay. He's not in the team. He's not in their 22.
No.
Unless there's a serious block of injuries. But he's just. He's too flighty for mine. I don't know what position he plays.
Played as that running half back in his first year.
First year, and they've never put him there again. Yeah. He's played on the wing. They've played him up forward. They've tried him all over the place. I think his skill set is probably best to be off half back, but he's not going to get into the team off half back. I mean, even if you look at it now, he's not going to get in next year ahead of Henry, ahead of Stewart, ahead of Buse. Ahead of College Asney,
yep.
Ahead of Blitzarves.
Atkins.
So I don't know where he plays because he's not in there. I'd be surprised if he's at the club.
Criticism. Editing out the not safe for work bits, perhaps a cutting room version of the podcast to be made available via some kind of Russian mafia back channel.
Yeah, well, I'd love that. And yeah. It would be provide some frivolity. But Kingy over there loves to do some cutting and you know, you fly close to the wind. I always like doing that. As long as I don't you get too close to the wind and it gets a little hostile. Anyway, we'd love to do that, but the powers that be in this politically correct world unfortunately don't allow you to do it.
Some of it's not necessarily about being politically correct either. What is it? Well, there are commercial radio codes of practice.
Yeah, that's right. Even with the podcast.
Yes.
What about if I just fired it off on my own personal Twitter?
You're not governed by it, but because it's produced out of a radio station and has a radio station brand.
But how do they know that we didn't do this in the bathtub at home?
They would work it out pretty quick.
Anyway, we can't do it, but we would because there's been some comedy gold at times, but we laugh our heads off. But you can't get it out there, can you?
The Ranger is the next person, and the Ranger has Cameron Ling as his avatar. Do we have a continual problem with our forward 50 entries? It seems to me that at times we just kick it to Hawkins' general direction rather than to his advantage. He can pull off miracles, but we can't expect that every time. Sam Taylor had a field day last week.
He did, and he played really well. Sam Taylor is a very, very good player. He's a bit off Broadway, and you know, if you don't watch a lot of the Giants, you wouldn't know maybe much about him because he's only, I think Friday night was his 49th game. he's a gun. He's an absolute gun. And, yeah, there was four or five times where Geelong teammates did Tommy Hawkins no favours. Good thing was he got very frustrated, but he didn't get reported. And, yeah, he had one of those nights. It just didn't work for him. And when you played 300 games, how many games you played? 295 or something? 296?
This will be 298 this week, I reckon.
When you play that many games of footy, it's not going to... Your cookie's not going to crumble in your direction every time, Kingy. And, yeah, his teammates didn't help him out, and that's just the way. I mean, you move on. And but Taylor, yeah, I'd love to have. We went through that on Friday night. Who did the Cats take? We had two picks before Taylor went.
Yeah, well, Parfitt and Kelly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's all right, I suppose. Parfitt, and then Kelly's not there.
So well, you've turned Kelly into Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah, well, that's just now you're talking, Kingy. Now I've got a bit of a twinge in the strides.
And Parfitt's going to be a good player for a heck of a long time for the Cats.
Yeah, he's. How would you describe his year?
Unspectacular.
He's been okay, hasn't he?
He's been solid.
You're sort of expecting him to elevate, and it's just plateaued out a little bit.
I think he's just workmanlike. And you got to remember, he pressure is what he builds his game on.
Yeah, he's good.
And the really good pressure players aren't your flashy type arrangements.
He's classy though.
He is classy, but I still think he likes to tackle and likes to get his hands dirty.
He just doesn't at the moment, and I'm not criticizing. I think he's a good player, but he has big quarters and then goes completely missing. There's just consistency within games sometimes is off. You'll look down quarter time, he's had the ball 10 times.
Yep.
You look down at half time and he's had it 12.
Yep.
So he's just that consistency. You know, he's not going to get it 10 times every quarter, obviously. But yeah, I think that's probably one area that he needs to work on. But I do agree. He'd be approaching 100 games.
Yeah, he's somewhere in the 90s.
Yeah. It'd have to be. Yeah.
LP17, hi guys, with Harry Mackay unlikely to play this week and possibly next. He won't. I think he's had surgery on that shoulder. What are the chances of Hawkey coming home with a wet sail and kicking 11 plus to jag a second Coleman? I know he's super unselfish and the team has bigger fish to fry. Would be an interesting situation in round 23 if he kicks 5 or 6 this weekend. I think it's far from his thoughts. Be nice to win back-to-back Coleman's.
Yeah, he couldn't give a stuff. He wants to win the flag.
But he's got 11 goals.
Big Hazmat's going to win that, isn't he?
Yeah.
Big H.
But he's
H
not. But he won't play again this year. I think there's a couple on 48 and a couple on 47. So somebody might reel him in, but highly unlikely.
Well, he'll get a chance this week. Because if Doogie Howser MD's out,
yep,
and he's on old Susie Wilkie, he could have a field day if you kick it to him to his advantage, because he's going to have some serious size. How tall is Wilkie?
That's a good question.
Size and weight. Hawkins is 197 or 198 and probably about 103.
191 and 87.
So you give away 7 centimetres and 15 kilos.
Yep.
Good luck.
Yep, good. All the best.
Imagine Brett Ratton's pre-game instruction would just be look over in the direction of Callum Wilkie and go, good luck.
And LP17 also subscribed to the couple of earlier comments. Sean Higgins isn't in our best 22 heading into September, but will he be found a spot based on his name and what he did when he was younger? For someone a lot of commentators refer to as a Rolls Royce, he sure has butchered the footy a lot, footy by foot a lot this year.
Yeah, he has. I don't disagree with that. It's a really interesting one. I think they'll go with him, and I can understand those who don't think that's the correct decision.
He'll get the first final, and if he has a horror,
well, he needs to play well the next 2 weeks. Yeah. If he was to play poorly, I think there's a real chance he's not there.
Yeah, which would be disappointing because he didn't come here not to be part of push for
and
flag.
If you think back to, and I, Zach Tui's probably taken a year or two to evolve into the role that he plays as well.
Yep.
Was it 2 years ago that they played him up? He was moved out of defence.
Onto a wing.
And he really was sort of going nowhere,
yep,
struggling. And now he's found his feet and has actually been really good.
Yep.
Sean, even though he's played 250 games, is playing a different role and he's struggling.
Maybe next year he's
next year he might. I know someone's like, oh, that's ridiculous. He's 33, going 34. But there is potential that he actually improves within his role next year. Probably might be a bit late for him, but he needs this Friday night, or Saturday afternoon, I should say, is huge for players like him and Reece Stanley.
Benny?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, we're
is
done.
Is that over and out?
Yeah, we are. We think at 3 o'clock we'll see you, but if not, we might be doing some GFL earlier in the day. We haven't had that confirmed yet as of Thursday, 2 o'clock, so we'll... But, you know, if you're around a radio around 3:30 on Saturday afternoon, you'll hear the dulcet tones of Benny and... some ramblings about something.
The old dulcet tones, Kingy. We love dulcet tones.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Whack and Noisen dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.